All right, welcome to the Your Mom Has a Blog podcast.
I wish you could see us. We're dancing to the music.
Jamming to our bumper music.
You really can't hear this music and not kind of
bop. Can you use it loud enough? I can turn up a little bit. Oh, yeah. So, I'm just mesmerized by that muted trumpet.
Man.
That's smooth, man.
So smooth.
It makes me want to go pour myself a big glass of water. Yeah. Well, how are you doing, Melissa?
I'm good. Did we introduce who we are and what this podcast is?
Oh, it's the Your Mom Has a Blog podcast. And I'm Chad Edgington.
And I'm Melissa Edgington.
And I'm not a blogger, but this past week I actually made a guest blog appearance.
You did.
Mom Has a Blog.
You know how many late nights that I've been sitting up at 11:30 or 12 thinking, I have no idea what to write, and I've asked you, hey, you want to write a blog post? And you kept saying, nope.
No way. Yeah, I don't have anything. I don't have anything to say. That's the problem.
But then you did.
Yeah. So there was a, you can read it on yourmomhasablog.com. But what happened was, you know, there was an article that a girl posted, and it was a, you know, I think it made a good point, or was aiming at something really good, which was when you're comforting someone who's grieving, which is something you do, you know, as a pastor quite a bit. When you're comforting someone grieving, you don't want to go into them and say, you know, after something awful has happened or they've just been diagnosed with a sickness or they're grieving someone's death, you don't want to go in and say, hey, you just remember, everything happens for a reason. And so I think she was making a good point with that, but the way that she wound up sort of writing her article was that she made God helpless, saying, you know, some things happen for no reason, almost implying that they're outside of God's control. And so, you know, you've always got to be real careful between, you know, recognizing that we don't lay the blame for anything evil, we don't lay the blame for sin, I should say, at God's feet, because he is not responsible for the sin in that way. The sinner is punished. And so what I was trying to get across in the blog post was, you know, we have to be careful how we talk about all of these things, but we don't want to come up with a non-biblical perspective just because it suits our emotional needs. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I enjoyed writing that. I actually had written that as a Facebook post, and then we used it for a blog post. So I don't know. What did you think?
I thought it was good. I appreciated it.
You were just happy you didn't have to write.
Kind of.
Yeah, that's really what
I mean,
it is.
I enjoy writing, but it can be hard to come up with something to write about every day.
Yeah, and when it's funny because I don't do that, but I kept writing and I kept thinking this could be a lot better. And you just can't spend that much time on a blog post, can you? I mean, you spend a lot of time. But I'm saying you write it and you think, oh, I could say this and I could say this and I could say this, and you just kind of go with what you got. And when I was done, I thought, you know, I that's probably going to rub some people the wrong way. And I think it did. I don't think it was completely. I mean, maybe I could have done a better job, but you know, that was my first time.
Hey, you did great.
I'll get better.
And your grammar was primo.
Grammar was primo, thanks to you. I'm sure you had to fix some of it.
You did pretty good. Yeah. Pretty well. Oh, gosh.
See, I wasn't going to say anything because I didn't even notice
it. You did well.
I did good.
You did so good.
Hey, get her done, Chad.
Your writing was just real good, honey.
Well, thank you. I was really trying, and I just wanted to do something that would bless the people.
Amen.
And you know, if that didn't light your fire,
your wood's wet.
You know, if that didn't bless you, your blessers broke.
Well, oh, yeah. So what's been going on this week? Let's see what's been happening. We sang at a funeral.
Yeah.
So Chad and I sing at a lot of funerals, and Chad preaches a lot of funerals. So, you know, it's almost kind of strange how many funerals that we attend, but mm-hmm. but it's kind of it's kind of neat, I guess, to, I don't know, to be there. It's an honor to be a part of mm-hmm. these special days for people. But anyway, this funeral was a really neat one. The lady was 96
years born old. Born in 1920.
Huge family, very well loved. Yeah, and sweet lady. It was such a, but the fun thing about this funeral is, you know, people, a lot of times when they choose funeral songs, it's kind of the same songs over and over again. But at this funeral, this woman was a huge country music fan, and she chose the song One Day at a Time, the old country song, One Day at a Time. Sweet Jesus. And we had fun working that one up and singing it.
Yeah, I'd never sang it. I guess I'd heard it, but I never had really noticed the song or it.
I really liked that one.
Yeah, it's a good song.
That was fun.
Interesting. And then she wanted me to preach on John 3:16. That was in, I didn't know her, but that was in her pre-need plan. That was the scripture she wanted for the text of the funeral sermon. And then we did Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art. And for the message, you know, I kind of try to do a little bit of this is your life kind of thing, you know, just kind of go through and kind of beef up the obituary a little bit and humanize them. And she had written out by hand about 15 or 20 pages worth of notes and memories of all the things that had happened to her. And you can imagine, you know, it's when someone can remember you know, the 20s and the 1930s and 40s so well. There were some interesting stories out around West Texas, oil field, that kind of stuff. So
that was really neat. Yeah, about her riding to town
riding
in
to town
the wagon.
In a wagon and playing behind it.
Yeah, that's so neat. That was really cool to be a part of that.
So we did the funeral. That was took up most of Monday. And then what happened Tuesday?
I have no idea.
That was just yesterday. Today's Wednesday. So I've been studying. I've been doing a really cool thing on Wednesday nights, I think. We've been studying church history during our prayer meeting time. And that's been kind of extra work. But it's been worth it. I'm getting ready for a mission trip in September to Ecuador, where I'll be teaching church history to, what do you call them?
Pastors.
Indigenous pastors?
Yeah.
Like, not, that'd be the pastors that are also out to teach with a translator.
The pastors from Ecuador.
I've always thought guys that taught with translators seem really important. Like, you're so important.
That somebody's there.
Let me put this in our language, because what this guy's saying is so good.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that happen before?
Been translated?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying it's never, I've never said anything that needed to be translated. <Yeah. laughs> But
that's
interesting.
That's going to be neat.
Well, what's hard about it is if you're used to just saying something and taking 30 minutes, you've got to say it in 15.
Oh, that's true. Because it's twice the because I got to repeat it.
Yeah, but I thought that's the bad downside of it. The upside of it is that you've got all this extra time to like look at your notes and think about what you want to say next.
I wonder if you'll be distracted though. You think it'll be distracting to hear him talking?
Yeah, I hope you have to just take turns, right? It's a rhythm.
When he stops talking and he's looking at you and you're like, oh yeah, I've got to talk to
you. Did you have to talk? Yeah. So that should be interesting. So we've been talking about church history. And tonight we did the church councils of Nicaea and Ephesus and
it's really
Constantinople and Chalcedon. So it was really neat. And I think everybody enjoyed it. I've really had a hard time, you know, sort of, I think when you teach in a church, you know, you should start off with text of scripture and you should start with the Bible and it should be something that's edifying and based, even if you're doing a history class, I think, you know, it doesn't need to be strictly academic. And tonight we were talking about the Trinity and really, you know, hitting on some really important things. I thought it was good. And little Sawyer, he managed to sleep through my entire lesson.
Well, here's the deal. It's prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and
we had a good crowd tonight.
So we started off the prayer meeting with prayer. You know, it's like Chad opens up the prayer meeting, and then he says, anyone who wants to pray can.
Yeah.
And so then people started praying. Well, everybody wanted to pray tonight.
Everybody. We even had the thing that happens in sometimes in a prayer meeting, where two people start to pray at the same time,
yeah.
which is about as charismatic as we get, right? I mean, somebody might raise a hand every now and then, but praying at the same time, and
that
it's just for a, it's just for a split second. Dear Lord, oh, and then somebody backs off, and then that can be awkward sometimes because someone's, what if both people stop?
Oh, I know.
And then someone's like, am I going, or
are
you?
It was disaster avoided. One just forged ahead, and the other one stopped.
Yeah, that was good.
So it worked
out good.
Great. But anyway,
the way that you just go in a circle. That would be the but
yeah,
that
but not
seems
everybody
less,
wants to pray.
I know, and that seems less spontaneous.
Yeah.
But it would be.
Anyway, so the point is that everyone prayed for so long, and Sawyer had put his head down, you know, to pray,
and he was tired.
When someone finally said amen and the praying was over, he was out.
He was out of it. Last time he did that, he snored. But he has a way. We have these tables in the parlor where we have prayer room. He has this way of putting his feet up on like a little shelf that's under the table. So
like
he has his feet up and his head down, and you know, everybody's always been really impressed with his ability.
It's surprising to me that you let him sleep. That surprises me.
No, that's not. I have a philosophy on sleeping in church. I admire it. Because let's say, what do we know about people who are sleeping in church?
They're tired. But they're there anyway.
And you know what a lot of tired people did?
They stayed home.
But these people came to church because they knew it was, and they desired to be there. And even though they were tired, they came anyway. And I'm just like, hey, sleep. It doesn't bother. If you're sleeping in God's house, that's a good place to sleep. You know, take a little nap. Enjoy it.
I like that theory.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say anything that you can't hear on the internet later. Or that hasn't been said on the internet already. So I think I come up with maybe two original thoughts all year. So, you know, I'll bang pots and pans and wake people up if I feel like I have an original thing to say.
So that's a funny thing that you and I do, that we will come to each other occasionally and say, I think this might be an original thought.
I might have made this up. Yeah.
And then usually the other one says, no, it's not original, sorry. But we're really trying to come up with
original. We've come up with things independently from the original source. Like, I think we had an original type thought. It was just after someone else had already had it, even though we didn't know about it.
Right.
So it's still kind of like, you know, my most famous original thought. You know what it is?
What?
You've forgotten? My greatest invention?
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
Quilt shorts.
Oh, quilt shorts.
Yeah, I had this idea.
How could I forget quilt shorts?
I mean, that was like a big part of our marriage.
I know. It was so important there for a few years.
So what I was going to do is I was thinking, you go to a park for a picnic and you put a quilt down. Well, what if you made a pair of shorts out of quilt? And then you wouldn't have to bring a blanket with you because you'd already be wearing the quilt. And Melissa thought it was a lame idea.
Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, you don't want to wear shorts that make you look more padded, which a quilt would.
I will admit, quilt shorts will make you look padded.
Secondly, in Texas in summer, who wants to wear a quilt on their rear end?
People that don't want to have to carry around a quilt to go on a picnic.
It's just not the best idea.
And I thought it would look pretty cool too. And then what happened just a few years after I thought of quilt shorts, we show up at the mall and there all the mannequins are wearing quilt shorts.
Those were not quilt shorts. You
That's
keep
the same
claiming
thing.
Those are quilt shorts.
They're it's the same idea.
He's talking about those shorts that have like all the little squares of plaid.
Yeah,
that's
called a quilt.
But your quilt had cotton batting in it, and those do not.
It would have had a little bit of cotton batting in it, because it would have been a true quilt short.
Men might have bought those, I guess, but women would have never, never. Well, yeah. I my only original thought that I know of is I did make up a joke once. Remember my joke?
About
Yeah, don't
King
wait,
Tut?
Wait.
You don't
yeah.
want to tell it?
Yeah, I'm going to tell
okay,
it. I didn't
yeah.
want
this
you to
is
get
a
punchline.
This is a great...
Okay.
It's a great inappropriate joke.
Okay, you have to remember that I live in a home with kids who, you know, potty humor is a big thing. Okay?
Yeah.
And so, anyway, a few years ago, I made up this joke, and I truly think it is a good joke.
And we have kids who are really into Egyptology.
That's true.
So we've kind of been an Egypt-loving family.
Adelaide was obsessed
yeah.
with Egypt
when she was
for
younger.
Many years. Okay, so here's the joke. What did one Egyptologist say to the other when they passed gas at the same time?
I don't know. What did one Egyptologist say to the other when they passed gas at the same time?
I think we have a toot in common.
Still got it. Still good.
Hey, yeah. You might be rolling your eyes at that right now, but I guarantee you will tell that joke to someone.
You'll tell that joke
to
somebody.
Out.
Yeah.
It's a good joke.
It's almost as good as quilt shorts.
That joke should make me money somehow.
Yeah.
But I don't know how.
I don't know. But you know who really, you know who probably really was proud of his original idea? The guy that came up with Stow and Go.
Two words, one letter.
Even the name is clever. Probably
I know,
someone else.
But
came
he up. Didn't think of the name.
Yeah, or it could have been a woman. I don't want to exclude anybody. You know,
it probably was a
hey,
woman.
Hey, man, there's girl engineers. What are you trying to be, like a little chauvinistic or what?
Hey, I bet it was a woman.
It was.
I'm going to try to find out who invented Stow and Go.
We should get them on
hey,
the podcast.
You know, my friend,
we should interview.
Hey, you know, after that podcast about Stow and Go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my friend Andy. Sent out a tweet to Chrysler about Stow and Go.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, and he, you know, I don't know what it's called on Twitter when you tag somebody. Is that called tagging?
I don't know.
Or
linking?
Whatever,
tweeting.
Anyway. At whoever. What is that called?
I don't know.
I'm so out
don't
of it.
Don't touch the desk, you're making noise.
Oh, sorry. So anyway, he tweeted something about
he retweeted?
Stow and Go.
I don't know.
No, he heard the
matter.
Podcast, and then he tweeted something to me about Stow and Go and to Chrysler, and Chrysler liked the tweet.
They did?
Yeah.
Yeah, they like Stow and Go. They
Stow
make a
Go.
Lot of money off Stow and Go.
Stow and Go.
Chrysler
it's too bad,
and Dodge.
It's too bad we talked about how the paint was peeling off the hood.
No, that's just what happened, but yeah.
Yeah, but now we have a brand new shiny one, and we
yeah,
love it.
Yeah, and we love it, and the paint's still on the hood.
Okay, so we had some questions this week from some readers. So, our listeners and readers, I hope. So, Annalie said that she likes our kids' names, and she wanted to know how we came up with our kids' names.
Okay.
And, you know, unfortunately, Annalie, the names are a lot more interesting than the stories behind the names.
I'll take the first one. So, Adelaide, the story behind Adelaide's name, I was working at a private school, and I was sort of like a full-time sub back whenever we were trying to get famous in Nashville. And so I was working at this school every day. It was called Westminster School in Nashville, Tennessee. And there was a kid in the second grade class where I would work quite a bit, and her name was Adelaide. She spelled it the way we spell Adelaide's name, A-D-E-L-A-D-E, with no I in it. And I just thought she was the cutest, funniest little girl, and she was always hilarious, and she called me Mr. Chad, and that was how her voice was, and it just cracked me up. And I thought, you know, probably for the first time in my life, I thought, how do you get one of these? They're so fun, you know. I want a kid, and that really, you know, that starts the wheels turning when you think, well, I don't know if I can have a kid because they, you know, I always wanted my kids to wear Oshkosh B'gosh clothes and have health insurance and stuff like that. And I wasn't even married at the time. So I was a long way from having children, but I think I told you about Adelaide and I said, I would love to have a kid and name it Adelaide. And so then I guess when I don't know. That's the story, right?
That's the story. So we always had that was our girl name.
That was our girl name. And so when we're trying to have children, we call it Operation Adelaide.
So when I got pregnant with Adelaide, we were totally convinced
it
was
a boy. Yeah, from like the very beginning.
So
even whenever it would be like a, you know, when she was just a peanut-sized little baby in your belly, I just would lay next to you in bed and I would envision it as being a little peanut boy.
I know. And we were girl. So sure it was a boy. We were already calling it. We had our first boy name was Jet.
Jet, yeah.
Texas.
Jet Texas.
J-E-T-T.
We were proud of that one too.
Jet Texas.
And then we met other kids named Jet, so we never got to use it.
Yeah. But anyway, so we went for our ultrasound to find out if it was a boy or a girl, and we were like, we're going to see Jet Texas today, and then we go in there and they said, it's a girl.
Hey.
And we were really shocked.
Like,
but
wow,
then
Adelaide. There it is.
There you go. So then Sawyer's name, I mean, honestly, I found Sawyer's name in a baby name book.
Mm-mm. It wasn't it, was it?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was on the Social Security website.
Well, I mean, what difference does it make?
Well, because we were checking on that website because we were determined that is it Social Security that does it?
Yeah.
They put out a list of all the names.
Top 100 baby names of every year.
Is it 100 or more than that?
It's 100.
I thought it was more than 100. Because maybe it wasn't. But we made sure it was way down, like in the 80s or 90s or something. We made sure his name was at the way bottom of the list.
The way we use the Social Security website is we looked back at names from a long time ago. So we were looking back like the 1910s for names.
But we were making sure that they weren't popular names at that time.
Well, because I'm Melissa and he's Chad, which we were born in the 70s. So those are two of the popular names.
There was always like four or five Chads that were always much more popular and better looking than me, but they also had my name. So they were...
Hammer.
I mean, no one got us confused, but there was always a bunch of Chads going to school where I was going to school. And then at that time, if you remember... In 2004 and 2005 and 2006, and that there were just some real popular names like Emma, and what else was the other one that was real popular?
Emily,
Ava. Some of the other Olivia? They like old names were making a comeback,
right?
And so a lot of people were getting on the old name thing, but they were only picking out like Friends. What was the girl that had the baby? What did they name her?
Emily.
Was that Emily?
Yeah.
So
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So there were just a lot of those. There were just some very similar names. So you could just think, well, gosh, when all these kids start kindergarten, there's going to be a million named Grace and there's going to be a million named Emma and whatever. So we were trying to avoid that. And so that's how we come up with somewhat obscure names because we were intentionally trying to give them unpopular names. But, it's not like we named them Rufus or anything like that, which that would probably be a good name. But then there was like a trend for a while there where everybody was naming their babies something that ends in an L-Y. Are they still doing that?
I'm not sure.
You know, like, I don't even know what their names would be. Ainsley, Mainsley, Cainsley, Brainsley, Fainsley. My favorite, Chonksley. I made that one up. You can use it if you want to name your baby that. Chanksley.
Chonksley.
Monksley. Plonksley. I mean, it was always, Braden, Caden, Maiden, Zayden, Hayden, all those sorts of names. So just try to stay away from those. I wanted to stay away from those.
So then
everybody else apparently loves them.
So then moving to the third child, Emerald. So the way we came up with Emerald's name is I grew up with a girl named Emerald, and I always thought that was a really pretty name. And I had tried to avoid any of the kids' names starting with the same letter because I was afraid to start that trend, of the same letters. I don't know. We had a lot of hang-ups about baby names.
Yeah, we had
I didn't even realize that. Totally
had a lot of hang-ups.
There's
a lot of nice names that we just didn't like.
But Chad also had an issue with all of his names that he wanted to name kids were what I considered to be dog names.
That's not true.
It's true.
So
dog names.
I wanted to name a girl Promise. That was what I wanted to name Emerald, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wanted to name her Promise. And then I wanted to name her Darling. That was the name I wanted for her first name.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted her name to be Darling Edgington. And Melissa said no. Why didn't you like that name?
I don't know.
She would have been.
I like the name. It's her middle name.
Well,
her name is Emerald Darling.
Do you remember when Ron Darling was a pitcher for the Athletics, the baseball team? And I guess that's where they have pitchers. And you would see that on the back of his jersey, Darling. And I was, that's a really pretty name. And then when we're going to have babies. I thought, well, let's name her Darling Edgington. That's unusual.
Do you remember you had forgotten about the name Darling?
Yeah, and someone reminded me. David Deweese reminded me. Aren't you going to name her Darling? I was like, yeah, I wanted to name one of my kids Darling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But so I have one more name in reserve. Should I reveal the name?
I mean, it's too late now.
Yeah, we're.
I got fixed.
We're way done.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay. So my final baby name, which I'm putting it out there for y'all. I'm giving it away right now. You can have it.
James Lee?
Not James Lee.
I can make them up. Serious.
I had decided that if I had a fourth baby, that whether it was a boy or a girl, I was going to name him or her this. August,
yeah. August.
I still love that name.
Yeah, it's good.
So look, if you want to use my name, friends, you can have it because I don't think I'm going to need it.
Which, by the way, when we named Emerald, you know, I was okay with that. I thought it was a pretty name. But the compromise that we made was that we still got to put her middle name as Darling.
Right.
So I'm still happy with that, that at least on her middle name, when people see it, they're like, who came up with that? That's amazing. Who would name their kid Darling?
I've never heard anyone say that.
I haven't either, but I know that's what they're thinking.
Most of the time they look at you and like, go, really?
Is her middle name really Darling? Yeah, you know, like Emmy Darling.
But see, that's the whole thing.
Perfect country music singer.
That's what sold me on it, is if she wants to be a country music star, Emmy Darling, I mean, she's going to be on the Grand Ole Opry.
And it's cute whenever you say, what's your name? And she says, Emmy Darling. Which it used to be Emmy Garland because she couldn't make the D noise. Emmy Garland, remember that? It was so cute.
That was cute.
Emmy Garland. My name is Emmy Garland.
There's something sad about when kids get bigger and they say things right.
I know.
But you don't want them to say it wrong till they're 20, but still.
I know. But I miss calling yogurt Mogurt.
I know.
Walmart. We're going to Walmart.
Yeah.
But we're into Dollar General with Emerald. That's what she really calls it because we taught her to say it the wrong way. Going on to Dollar General.
So we had another question, and I really don't know how to answer this, but Emily was reading through some of my posts, and she noticed that I had written a post that was kind of talking about how, hey guys, we need to.
That's the air conditioner. It's loud. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay, Chad. You just hang with it.
You know, because I've actually studied this week. Podcasting audio engineering. So if you can tell, this week we've got a louder show and we've got some of the bass in our voices rolled off, so it should be a little bit easier to listen to in your earbuds or possibly in your car, where most people listen to talkie talk, or on your tiny phone speaker, or however you're listening to this. I studied the NPR sound, and so I'm trying to recreate the NPR sound.
But
and what's really cramping my style is this gigantic vent over our heads that, I mean, it sounds like Niagara Falls when it turns on.
We don't have our NPR voices on.
I can't do those.
We're supposed to be talking like this, Chad.
Is that how they really talk? See, I don't think they really talk,
Chad,
like that. It's the inflection.
What have you been doing today, Chad?
Well, I'll tell you right now what's happening. Okay, what's happening over there is this.
Is that your NPR voice?
That's how they talk in my head, yeah. Let me tell you what's happening in some obscure country that only we know about. You know, that's how they talk in my mind. It's just, they're elite.
They know so much about you.
They're so smart, man. And you know what's crazy about that? Is I don't want to brag or anything, but, you know. I used to be a commercial disc jockey. I mean, I used to talk on a radio for gas money, okay? Because that's, whenever you're a disc jockey, that's what you make. Enough money to probably live with your parents and to live with your parents and drive around. That's what, for talking on the radio, there's just not a lot of money in that. You make money selling ads and things like that. So I wonder how these guys got in the business. I guess they're journalists, because you don't nobody that's you know, planning on having a big career, making a bunch of money, is a disc jockey. I don't think, unless you're Howard Stern or someone like that.
You know? I know nothing about it, so
I know is there were guys that had been disc jockeys at the station where I worked for a long time, and they were still making as much as the guys that they just pulled in off the street and made play CDs.
I'm just saying that was in Brownwood, Texas. It's
it's all relative.
Yeah.
You can't make that much money doing it. But NPR, if you look, I studied it this week, y'all. They have nice, nice big studios, and they don't have air vents in their studio that sound like Niagara Falls. Listen to that. That's probably... Let's be quiet and see if it actually registers on the decibel meter. It's as loud as your voice. Wow. So, you can tell this is a real high-budget podcast.
So, I was trying to get to a reader's question. I think we're out of time. It's already 30 minutes.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's go for just a few more. Because I know it's been 30 minutes, but are you feeling okay?
Okay, but we've got to be short-winded and not long-winded on the answer to this question. All right. Okay.
For all the nobody listening.
That's not true.
Yeah, there may be a few listeners. I always like it when we go along and then people tell us that they stuck it out.
You know what would be so like fun is
torture.
I've always wanted to do a show where, you know, where you're like, hey, you have a question for us? Call in right now. Our lines are open. And then all of the buttons lit up and we could push buttons.
It's fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah, because I used to do that too back when I was a professional.
I called into your station.
Yeah. I would have to, what I would do is I would be on the radio and I would call people and ask them to call me whenever I did the...
You didn't call me and ask me.
Oh, y'all just called
me. I was just a big enough, you know, loser.
You were actually listening to my show.
I won tickets.
You won the Billy Bob's tickets?
Billy Bob's.
Yeah, I was giveaway Billy
in
Bob's
college.
Tickets. Yeah.
And then I invited you to come with me.
Yeah, I know, because that was good.
That was sneaky.
That was sneaky. Yeah.
Okay, so the question is, she was reading a post that, I don't know if you guys caught the post about give Elsa a girlfriend, that hashtag that was going around. Well, anyway, so in the post I said something like, you know, hey, I'm not talking about us being mean and boycotting or picketing or something. You know, I'm just talking about us living quiet lives where we live out the truth of God's word in a very sincere way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that prompted the question from Emily. She said, although I agree with what you said, I am curious to know what your opinion is on boycotts, especially in light of this whole thing with Target. And, man, there's a really good quote I wish I had gotten to read at this point that I saw today.
Well, what was the gist of it?
The gist of the quote was, it was from Dr. Richard Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said, hey, he was talking about the story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said...
And how the eunuch was saying, hey, I want to know, I want to understand what God's word means.
Uh-huh.
And he said, studies show that there are millions of people out there right now who would like to know that. And instead of talking about that, we're talking about Target and all of these other things that are of lesser importance.
Yeah.
So I would say my opinion on boycotts, I'm not a big boycotter. I'm not boycotting Target. In fact, we saw a man standing outside of a Target not long ago who was standing out there
with lots of signs
and very hateful things on the signs. And, you know, the kids were asking us, what's that man doing over there? And, you know, I just asked them, do you think that what that man is doing right now, do you think that that's causing people to want to know more about his God?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the answer would be yes in most cases.
No, that's not how they answered. I don't remember what they said, but I don't think they... I thought they just thought it was strange.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of me admired the guy for going out there and taking a stand, but then I thought, is this all you have to do? I mean, is this the best thing that you have to do with your time is to go stand in front of Target? I mean, you're sort of, at that point, I just think you're sort of part of the wacky spectacle, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I'm all for street preaching and those sorts of things. I know God can use those things, open-air preaching has been used in very mighty ways throughout the throughout history. But I think there's a point where, you know, you become the guy that's standing on the corner with a bullhorn, and you're part of the show at a Ranger game or in Las Vegas or something. And so it's really, it's very, I think we should do those sorts of things and exercise free speech, but, you know, you want to make sure that you're, I don't know, engaging people the right way. And that's where they'll listen and they'll dialogue, and, you know, you just have to be, you have to be sensitive to it. I don't think that standing out there with the signs was really, you know, all that great. On the other hand, if that's what he felt like the Lord was leading him to do, I guess I would say, you know, do what you think you need to do. But we're not boycotting Target because of the bathroom thing. I mean, we don't send our kids to bathrooms by themselves anyway.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's, to me, that's, you should boycott doing that. you know, don't send kids off to the bathroom, but just go in there with them. It's not, or just go to one holers and let them lock the door behind themselves.
I can't believe you just said one holer.
One holer.
I told my Tutankhamun joke, so.
Yeah, I say a one holer. You know, one holers are at Brahms. Brahms has got one holers.
Okay, McDonald's now you've said it four times.
McDonald's will have a two holer usually. You know, so now the Taco Casa and Graham has got a one holer, so that's a good bathroom for the kids to go to. But, you know, the whole Target thing. The reason you should not shop at Target is because it's too expensive.
That's true.
How can people afford to buy groceries there?
We don't shop there very much.
No,
just because of that. But I mean,
I like the packaging on their own brand is really nice.
They have pretty stuff there.
Yeah, everything is pretty there. It's very good. The store's got a very pleasing aesthetic. And I think back in the day, Target, when I was growing up, it was more like a Walmart or a Kmart. I don't know that there was much difference between a Target and a... But now it seems that Target has got that more upscale, you know, you want to get a nice gift for somebody or, you know, whatever. So
I guess to answer your question,
we don't boycott.
We're not big boycotters.
Yeah.
But I honestly do understand why people do it. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I'm not saying I never would.
But okay. Let's get down to it then, and then we'll close out the podcast. If we say okay, we're going to boycott, so it's almost like liking something on Facebook. It's like the opposite. It's like giving it a thumbs down.
Right.
All right. Probably because Christians don't have the type of social influence that they used to. It's probably not really going to make a dent in their profits. And so at that point, it's not serving the purpose, say, that the bus boycott in the civil rights movement served. When every African American in Birmingham or wherever that took place stops riding the bus, and you've got a town that's probably majority minority, okay, then that made a big difference in their profits,
mm-hmm.
And it was noticeable. I don't know that a Christian can really claim that there would be a noticeable difference in Target's receipts. I'm just saying that. I'm making a generalization in any type of boycott. What I would say, though, is it's making you feel better about yourself. Like, are you feeling more righteous because you're not going to Target? And is that really helpful? Does it just make you feel better when you're really not doing anything? Like, the whole thing of a boycott is you're not participating in something. So are you really feeling good that you've really accomplished or really done something or made God proud when you've really just done nothing?
See, that was kind of what I was alluding to in that post, was that I think we would make more of an impact on society if we just tried to live out the Christian life in every realm and arena of our lives, instead of, you know, getting wrapped up in something like that and then neglecting other areas of our lives where we need to take sin in hand, where we need to repent, where we need to...
You can start feeling self-righteous. So what should you do in the Target parking lot besides put your signs, walk around with your signs? You know, could you talk to one person and have a conversation about Jesus Christ and would that maybe possibly have more of a kingdom impact? I mean, you know, I guess, you know, those are, it's tough to judge people in that way and to look at that situation because we don't know all the facts and we don't know everything. But it seems to me that even if you had just gone and put a track with the good news on it, on every windshield, it would be a better use of your time at Target than just condemning Target. You know, right. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Are you talking about the guy with the signs or just people in general who are boycotting?
The guy with the signs. And then yeah. I guess I'd say in general, anyone that's boycotting. It's really easy. It's really easy to say, they're doing wrong. It's really easy to condemn. It's harder to love. It's harder to really talk to people about things that are actually happening and to explain why you're upset about it or why you're not agreeing with a certain policy.
Right.
And we just sort of get into this idea that everyone thinks just like we do and everybody is mad just like we are. And the truth is, most people aren't even, they think what Target is doing is noble. So, you know, the culture is so far out of step than it was, say, whenever the Southern Baptists tried the Disney boycott in the 80s. You know, the culture has moved so far beyond that whenever you stand out there with signs, people don't admire that. They think that you're being hateful. And so we've got to counteract that perception that Christians are hateful. The Dave Kinnaman and Gabe Lyons book, that they wrote, looking at facts and trends. I can't remember what that was. That called Unchristian? I think that may be the name of the book. They said like 7 out of the 9 words that people use to describe Christianity were negative, right. Hateful, bigoted, against women, all whatever it could be. So I don't know. I'd say anything that you can do that may not play in. You know, I'm not telling people to compromise. I'm just saying, as you are being obedient and as you are trying to live out your faith, we need to be known for our love and for certainly being principled and not compromising. But there's just a way that we're going to have to do that in 2016 and moving forward that doesn't have that kind of effect on people to make them think that we are being hateful. And that is really, that's going to be a challenge. It's going to be difficult. And so I don't think that you stop shopping at Target and then feel good about yourself and tell everybody you're not shopping at Target. I don't think that's going to promote understanding of what you really believe and why you believe it.
Well, so, I think maybe if you really feel convicted in your heart that you shouldn't shop at Target, then I would say just quietly stop shopping
at
Target,
Target
and take your money somewhere else.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But the show surrounding it, I think it's not. It's right. Not going to be helpful.
Yeah.
So
well, we better wrap
stuff.
Things up.
Yeah.
We went long today.
Yeah, but we deprived people of their podcast time with Melissa Edgington and the Chadster.
When?
Well, we went for like 2 weeks with no podcast.
Oh, so we had to double up today.
Yeah, we had to double up. So there you got 2 podcast words, so you can. You know.
And you know, the bonus today was that you heard our 2 only ever original ideas,
yeah.
Which were
not very good.
Special.
Yeah, no, your joke was good. Your joke was good. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.